But right now we're going to talk about air travel. We recently flew to Cowboys training camp and back, and we had a lot of stories from air travel, from the plane, from the airport. Things are going crazy on the ground at airports and in the sky because our airlines are so overwhelmed post-pandy. If indeed we are out of the pandy.
Was the brawl between the airline employee and the passenger here at DFW?
Spirit Air?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
God, that thing was wild, insane. Wasn't it?
Man. So a couple of interesting articles. In The Atlantic, they talked to Scott Keyes, who's the founder of Scott's Cheap Flights, airline expert, who talks about all the things going on right now. Because last week, they, you know, these airlines, JetBlue and American and Delta, canceled about 10% of their flights. And he says that 2020, travel was down 70% because of the pandemic. And airlines were worried about surviving, so they laid off staff, including pilots. A lot of the flight attendants and pilots just decided to retire. The airlines sold airplanes. They started retiring old planes. And they were thinking that it was going to be a six-year recovery period. Instead, it has been an 18-month recovery period. Now, everybody wants to fly again. Delta shed 30% of their employees, 30,000 people cut.
Jeez.
American laid off 30% of their staff, some through buyouts, early retirement. And so they were trying to get as lean as possible to make it through the pandemic. They retired some older planes, but now suddenly they're caught flat-footed as all these customers return because they want to fly again because they haven't flown or gone anywhere in 2 years. So now the airlines are scrambling, and that's why they're canceling all these flights. That's why we have long delays at airports. And they say that, for example, a pilot, they can't just go out and hire a bunch of new pilots because it takes years of training. It's not an entry-level job. Mm-hmm. So you got to wait for these pilots to get enough hours and get enough experience, and sometimes that takes years of training. But they need pilots now, and they need flight attendants now, and they need airport personnel now. This guy, Scott Keyes, he says, for example, you live in Milwaukee, and you're looking for an entry-level job. You could become a transportation security officer for $19 an hour, or you could go to Amazon's website and see there's a job in the area for $19 an hour. Would you rather load and unload bags in the dead of winter outside in Milwaukee or work in a climate-controlled warehouse for Amazon? You know, most people, yeah, because of the pay equality here, most people are taking the jobs away from the airports because it's not as hard on them or not as stressful.
Sure.
And they say that leisure travel has fully rebounded where business travel has not. So all the people who are working from home or you're Zoom conferencing instead of flying to LA for a meeting, that hasn't come back, but leisure travel has. And they say that's what's causing all the delays in the airports because leisure travelers tend to be more inexperienced than business travelers. So they need more time in the security line, for example. They don't remember to take off their shoes or take their laptop out. So when each person takes an extra 20 seconds, you multiply that by 3,000 passengers and you have these little micro events that matter big scale.
Yeah. They're not as efficient travelers, and that does seem to be the case just flying over the last year or so. It does seem like that it's always really dicey, isn't it, when you get into security?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be a 45-minute process or a 5-minute process?
Being TSA pre.
Yeah, no, we're still not that.
But even I've seen the TSA pre lines slow down here recently.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all of that at play, which, as we've heard, is making life difficult for the flight attendants. We've heard from a lot of flight attendants who are P1s saying that it's, you know, kind of the same complaints you're hearing from teachers these days, that it's just such a high-stress environment that a lot of them are retiring. We know one that we went to college with, and his airline offered him a furlough, basically, a sabbatical, going to doesn't have to work for a year or something, but got paid like 35 or 40% of his paycheck, and he took it.
Yeah.
He was like, ah, get out of the skies and I still get paid a little bit, sure. So the New York Times did an interview with a 20-year veteran flight attendant, and they asked her a bunch of questions. One, I was recently assigned to an exit row. What happens when a passenger speaks up about not wanting to sit there? And she said, we want you to speak up. Don't sit there if you really don't think you can open the hatch, you know, be a coach basically in an emergency. Nothing bad happens to you. We'll switch you to another open seat. A lot of people would like to trade with you. But they say a lot of people will just sit there even though they don't want to be there and they don't plan on helping or they don't think they can during an emergency. And Gordo's always had that complaint about George in an exit row.
I always feel like you're unwilling to help in case of an emergency.
You've complained to the flight attendant before about that.
Again, needless work for some sort of flight attendant to have to deal with that comment. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I don't feel like this man is capable of helping us in an event of emergency. I request that he be moved.
Oh, watch this. I can pick this guy up with one arm and throw him to the other aisle.
Do you see how violent this man is being?
They asked the flight attendant, what's the one thing you wish all passengers would do to make your job easier? And she says, acknowledging us as people and not treating us as part of the aircraft furniture goes a long way.
George.
It's demoralizing to welcome people aboard flights who look right through us with no response.
George.
I always make an appointment. Even if they don't say hi to me, I always say hi to them.
I do too.
Huh, you always force an interaction.
Say goodbye to them. Thank you when we leave.
I always thank them. Yeah. And if the pilots are there, I thank them.
Someone else at this table perhaps doesn't do that.
There's no way he does that. No.
Well, when they thank me for doing my job, I'll thank them for doing theirs.
It's about time you got me here.
What are some of the things that passengers do that drive flight attendants crazy? She says, don't touch flight attendants. This should be common sense, but it's not. We do not like to be poked, tapped, or grabbed.
George.
Also, the lack of headphone etiquette drives me nuts, she says. There is nothing more annoying than trying to talk to someone who's looking right at me, but they don't care enough to pause the movie or take their earbuds out. The funny part is I'm usually asking them what they want to drink or eat. I give the courtesy of asking three times. If I don't get a response, I move on. And then three rows later, that same person will be pressing their call button to ask why they didn't get a drink. Do you have any insider tips for parents flying with young toddlers? This is something I brought up because we're wondering when we should try to fly with our now one-year-old. And it's very daunting to me. All the stuff you got to bring, first of all, and then how to handle them is either a lap child or you buy them their own seat. She says, first and most importantly, your child is going to feel your nerves. If you're stressed, they're going to be stressed. Make flying as exciting as possible for them ahead of time. Dress them in an airplane outfit, whatever that is.
Yeah, what is that?
Buy a new book. Let them have all the screen time they want on a plane. Download a new movie or a series. Practice with headphones before the flight. Let them carry their own little on-the-go bag with them. So if you're happy and, you know, at ease, then the kid most likely will be. But if you're nervous, if you're a nervous flyer, the kid's going to be nervous.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
And they ask, what would you suggest I do to calm my nerves if I'm a nervous passenger? And the flight attendant says, there's nothing I can say to calm your nerves. They said that maybe have a drink, you know, do whatever you can, get lost in a TV show, but nervous flyers are going to be nervous flyers. Flight attendants have no secret as to how to settle a nervous flyer.
I'm surprised they said have a drink. That usually turns into maybe two or three, and then now you got a problem in aisle six.
Stewardess.
They did say have a glass of wine, not five glasses. And finally, what's the biggest misconception about your job? The flight attendant says that we are on airplanes for customer service. We're actually there for safety. Before World War II, air hostesses were registered nurses. The requirement to be a nurse ended during the war because nurses quit flying to join the war effort. Now we go through intense training to learn how to use all the safety equipment. We learn basic life-saving skills such as CPR. We learn how to evacuate an aircraft in 90 seconds or less. We're also learning how to fight fires, how to deal with security threats and unruly passengers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where's my drink?
Right. That's how most people see them, is as a waiter or waitress,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they are actually there for your safety. So just a little bit of what's going on in our skies these days.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.